Peter.
Hello, Kim.
What's on tap today?
Well, Brazil has a new coach.
Oh, wow. Let's hear about it.
Absolutely. Well, Dunga has been named successor to Luis Felipe Scolari as Brazil's coach. The 1994 FIFA World Cup winning captain on Tuesday afternoon conducted a press conference after being appointed manager by Brazil's Football Confederation. Scolari resigned after Brazil finished fourth in the recent World Cup they hosted, suffering a humiliating 7-1 semi-final rout by Germany in the process. Ivory Coast Football Federation says four Frenchmen, including former international Luis Fernandez, have been named on a short list of five prospective candidates to take over as national coach of the senior national team nicknamed the Elephants. The short list was put together from a list of 37 prospective candidates, unusually all named on the Ivorian Football Federation's website. Francis Gillot, Frederick Antonetti, Hervé Renard, and Fernandez are joined on the shortlist by Manuel José, the Portuguese coach who won four African Champions League titles during his time at Egyptian club Al Ahly. The new Ivory Coast coach will take over from Sabri Lamouchi, whose two-year contract was not renewed after the country failed to reach the second round at the World Cup in Brazil. A decision on the new coach must now be taken by the Federation's executive committee, who has previously promised to announce their final choice by the end of the month. The Council for East and Central Africa Football Associations, or CECAFA, today released the fixtures of the 40th edition of the CECAFA Kagame Cup Championships, which is scheduled to be staged at Amahoro and Kigali Stadia from August 8th to 24th. Earlier today, CECAFA spokesperson Rogers Mulindwa spoke to me about the competition.
Yeah, we have released the fixtures today. We are kicking off on 8th of August, and we shall be having the group stages, the last matches of the group stages on 17th of August. And then we have the finals played on 24th of August. The same day we shall have a classification match or the third place playoff. We expect a number of 12 clubs coming, and of course it's going to be a very interesting tournament. The last time we had it were in Darfur, it was equally interesting, but we hope when we are in Kigali, where our patron General Kagame Paul, the president of Rwanda, is, of course he has done a lot to make sure this tournament comes up in a more organized manner, and we have already received the prize money from him. We already have it in our account.
What specifically are the fixtures, if you can give me a rundown of the fixtures, and what is the cash prize that you got from President Kagame?
The President, this is the 13th year that he has been giving prize money for the Kagame Club Championship, and actually it's the reason why we call it the CECAFA Kagame Club Championship. He gives in $60,000, where the winner takes $30,000. Then the first runners-up takes $20,000, and $10,000 for the third place club. After the fixture, I know the official opening match, the real official one, will be between Yanga and Rayon Sports. Rayon Sports of Rwanda are the defending champions, the league champions in Rwanda. The other details, match by match, I may not be able to give them because I was out of the office and I was on the way traveling. But what's very important here is also that we are going to conduct the fitness test for the referees. We expect a total of 18 referees and assistant referees going to Kigali by FIFA to do the medical tests on FIFA, and then they will be undergoing the fitness tests on FIFA. But we want to warn the federations against sending unfit referees because the costs will be on the federation or the member associations to have them back in case they fail the fitness test. We do this to ensure that we minimize the likely expenses of preparing one ticket for one referee and then the following day fails the fitness test, and you have to look around for another one. So the federations should ensure that the referees we are getting to that expectation of the SECAFA.
Will the fitness match that of FIFA or World Governing Body standard?
Yeah, it's actually, we use the same standard, and we have a very competent technical committee, which is headed by Mr. Charles Masembe. Charles Masembe is a member of the CAF, Referees Committee. We also have a team from Rwanda, very technical people, who are also in FIFA. Actually, all our committees in SECAFA, the medical, where we have Dr. Sekajuga and the others, who is in FIFA, the media committee I head, I also happen to be, I'm a member of the CAF media committee. So we have very experienced and technical people to handle each department. So we don't get compromised on standards. We have to ensure that standards is given a priority. The reason why we feel our region has not been doing very well is because maybe some people have not taken this very serious. And therefore, when it comes to World Cup qualifiers, Africa Cup of Nations, we have not done very well for the last so many years. But of recent, you can see Sudan, you can see Ethiopia, you can see. So we want to keep working harder and harder so that we can in the future take the places of the West African countries maybe when we continue working harder and focused.
A lot of East Africans have expressed concern that their teams appear not to be doing well on the African stage and by extension, the world stage. It happens to be Central and West Africa and somewhat North Africans who dominate African football. So is this a CAFA tournament one of the means by which you're trying to change the paradigm?
There are quite a number of factors why some of our countries actually are not doing very well. It all starts from the preparations at home. Some national teams wake up when there is a particular tournament, and then the coaches, wake up to start calling and summoning players, so bring them together. And then there are those countries where it's a daily activity for the national team coach to be doing the work even when there is no tournament. Others, actually, the sponsorship is also another issue. They don't have the sponsors to take them through a year of training, playing friendly matches, and the likes. Others yet do have them, but technically maybe they have not perfected. So there are quite a number of factors, but we are trying to say we give attention to all these challenges so that we make sure. Because in this continent of Africa, I think the CAFA region is having more competitive activities than any other zone in the CAF area.
Rogers Molindwa is spokesperson for the Council for East and Central Africa Football Associations, or SECAFA. He spoke with me from Uganda's capital, Kampala. And now, Daybreak Africa Sports editor Mark Ouma has today's sports roundup. Take it away, Mark.
Egypt edged Congo Brazzaville 1-0. Ethiopia and Gabon drew 0-0, as did Togo and Senegal in Orange Africa Under-17 Championship qualifiers. And in other matches, Zambia pipped Botswana 1-0. Ivory Coast outplayed Libya 4-0. Cameroon dismissed Burkina Faso 2-0. Mozambique edged Angola 2-1. Benin pipped Mali 1-0. Uganda thrashed Rwanda 4-0. And South Africa and Tanzania drew 0-0. While the Confederation of African Football postponed the clash between the Democratic Republic of Congo and FIFA Under-17 World Cup champions Nigeria by a week. In Switzerland, Angola and Swaziland are Africa's most improved national teams, while Cape Verde Islands has slipped by the widest margin according to the latest FIFA rankings released in Zurich. Algeria's Desert Fox are Africa's highest placed team, in 24th place, one spot ahead of Ivory Coast. African champions Nigeria are 34th, Egypt 36th, Ghana 38th, Tunisia 42nd, Guinea 51st, Cameroon 53rd, Burkina Faso 58th, and Mali 60th. Meanwhile, Tunisia's under-23 side challenged challenge their hosts Qatar in Doha today, Tuesday. Both sides are preparing for the 2016 Rio de Janeiro Olympic qualifiers. In athletics, Kenya's Job Koech Kinyor and Collins Cheboi triumphed in the 800 meters and 1500 meters respectively at the IAAF World Challenge meet in Madrid, Spain. Stacy Chepkemoi Ndiwa and Purity Cherotich Rionoripo ensured a Kenyan 1-2 triumph in women's 3000 meters. On the infield, Egyptian Mustafa Al-Gamel was runner-up in hammer throw as South African Godfrey Kotso Mokwena was third in long jump. Finally, in rugby, hosts Kenya dismissed Uganda 34-0 to win the senior men's contest with a 48-21 aggregate in the two-leg Elgon Cup in Nairobi on Saturday. Kenya beat Uganda 27-12 to triumph in the men's under-19 contest with a 37-27 aggregate, while the Kenyan women outplayed their Ugandan peers 39-10 to prevail on a 72-25 aggregate.
Mark Ouma is Daybreak Africa Sports Editor with today's sports roundup, reporting from Johannesburg, South Africa. Have a good evening, Mark. In boxing news, former undisputed heavyweight champion Mike Tyson lost twice to Evander Holyfield, once by 11th round stoppage in November 1996 and by third round disqualification in their return bout, the controversial ear bite fight in June 1997. But on August 9th at the Cohiba Ballroom of the New Tropicana Las Vegas, Tyson will present Holyfield with his induction trophy as the four-time champion enters the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame. Holyfield will be inducted along with George Foreman and former multi-division champion Roberto Duran. Also among the 18 inductees in the Nevada resident category are former heavyweight champion Sonny Liston, whose biggest bout in Las Vegas was his first round knockout of Floyd Patterson, and ex-lightweight belt holder Cornelius Boza Edwards, who fought a variety of high action battles in Nevada. Derek Chisora has been forced to withdraw from this Saturday's fight with Tyson Fury in Manchester in the United Kingdom. The promoters announced that heavyweight Chisora had fractured his hand in training and would not be able to defend his European title against Fury this weekend. The vacant British heavyweight crown was also up for grabs. Chisora injured his hand during a sparring session, which means their clash would have to be rescheduled on a date yet to be announced.